Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewpkaufman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewpkaufman.com. And now, back to the show.
We're excited to be joined today by kick-ass couple Jenny and Chris Swisher. Jenny is a certified personal trainer and fitness nutrition specialist. After years of struggling with her hormones, she learned how to live in alignment with her body and created a personal brand, Jenny Swisher, LLC, teaching other women how to manage their hormones so they can maximize their energy and be their best for themselves and the ones they love. Chris is a former high school science teacher whose passion is also fitness. They met, fell in love, and married, and are the proud parents of two beautiful daughters. Chris joins Jenny as CTO and CFO, and together they work at building Jenny's line of digital products, courses, and podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. We are so excited to have a fun couple, Chris and Jenny Swisher, joining us today on the podcast. We were actually introduced by, Macy with Brand Builders Group and then Elise Archer are two people that we worked with in developing our podcast. So we call them the godmothers or maybe the
midwives.
The midwives. They helped birth the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. So I'm glad that Macy brought us together. So shout out to Macy and Brand Builders Group. But I love to welcome you guys, and we're so glad that you're here. We're going to ask a lot of fun questions today, and we want you both to answer. And so we always like to start off our podcast with, what makes you guys a kick-ass couple?
Ooh, well, first of all, thank you so much for having us on here today. It's been great crossing paths with you, and we're excited to be here. So we'll give you as candid of answers as we can. When it comes to being a kick-ass couple, I guess I would have to say for us, it's always been about how we can support the other one and how we can really grow together through our relationship. We got married really young at the age of 22 and about a month out of college. We were high school sweethearts and we spent our college years separate. So we went to different universities and kind of did our own thing. He was in college athletics and I was at a small university about 4 hours away. So we did still see each other, but we definitely had our own lives. And people will often say, like, how did you make it happen? Like all the way from high school through college. And I tell them, I think we really sort of got lucky at that phase of our life with growing together, like just being really open in our communication and being always supportive of the other one and the other one's dreams. And that carried through to marriage as well. So I would have to say that.
Great.
And I think I'll add, I think it's always been about support and realizing that one person's dreams is really both of our dreams. And no matter what phase of life we've gone through, whether it be a job change or career change, we've always supported that person 100%.
I love that. That's a beautiful picture, actually.
It is one of support. It's critical.
Yeah, we've had different phases. You know, I mean, he competed collegiately as a runner. And then when we graduated and got married, he continued that endeavor for a while. So for the first 2 or 3 years of our marriage, we were traveling all over the country for him to compete in road races and track meets and all kinds of things at the professional level. And so it took a little bit of sacrifice, right? And give and take from a relationship perspective. And then I went through some health issues shortly thereafter with migraine headaches and whatnot. And so having him support me through that And then eventually through my entrepreneurship and my business ideas, where it feels like we're just constantly sort of trading, like, mm-hmm. okay, whose dream are we pursuing right now? And how can we keep each other supported and grow through it and communicate through it and, stay connected.
Love it.
I would love to talk a little bit about your histories, because I really believe that we are a product of the people who raised us. Some cases that might have been a traumatic upbringing, maybe not so gentle, and other cases it's, you know, just a great, wonderful childhood. And so for all of us, it's different, but whatever it is, we bring it to that next relationship. So I'm curious, Chris, what did love look like growing up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever really questioned my parents' love. They were also high school sweethearts as well, but I don't know if I ever really saw them truly affectionate with one another. I had a younger brother that I grew up with, but I will say, no matter what, they were there for everything. Like, they always showed up. They were both in education, so they were at every single track meet, basketball game, you name it, they were there. So I felt like you felt that love through the support that they
showed.
Yeah. But I don't think you didn't necessarily see them cuddling or hugging or kissing, things like that. But you always knew that they were committed to one another. We never really had arguments or anything like that. I will say, from a confrontation standpoint with my parents, we were a family of keep it in, hold it in, deal with it on your own terms, and bottle it up. So it was growing up with Jenny's family, seeing a different family and how they
communicate.
Yeah. It was just a paradigm shift that we went through.
Yeah. I think it has been one of our biggest struggles has been how to be openly communicative, whether it's good or bad, right? Whether the conversation is, an argument or not. So his parents are near and dear to my heart. His mom was actually my sixth grade teacher. So we did grow up together in a small town, Indiana. But I don't think, and we've talked about this a lot, like I don't remember seeing them super affectionate, but yet they were always committed to one another. There wasn't a lot of arguments and not a lot of confrontation. So something that we've had to work through for sure from a marital perspective is how to deal with that conflict and how to, you know, confront issues when they come up.
Sure. Cause that definitely comes into play when you meet your significant other and you had love, you knew there was love, but you didn't see it expressed. And so it wasn't modeled for you. And when it's not modeled for you, it's really hard to bring that to the next relationship and to express that. So it's kind of what I hear you saying, Chris.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like that's something that you yearn for. Mm. Like in my relationships, I really, like if you go through like the love languages, like I am literally a
physical touch
love language.
Mm. Yeah. It's like he craves almost what he didn't experience. You know what I mean? Absolutely. And I see that as well. For me, it's, acts of service and words of affirmation and feeling that sort of reassurance. And that was something that was probably lacking in what I grew up in too. So it's interesting how that works. But
tell me a little bit how love was expressed in your family when you were growing up, Jenny.
Yeah. So my parents have been married for over 30 years and they were sort of the opposite end of the spectrum. I can remember my parents being very physically affectionate. My mom and I would sort of barter for time on my dad's lap when I was a young child. And they had a very faith-based, faith-centered relationship. So I can remember seeing them, you know, hold hands in church and pray together and really treated their relationship first. They did a lot of things, the two of them. They had, you know, NFL season tickets. So it was like, don't bother them on Sundays. That's mom and dad's day. You know, they were going to go do their thing. So I feel like I grew up in an environment where there was total commitment, total trust, total affection. I did go through a little bit of what you could consider to be trauma in my early teens, around the age of 12. My dad was diagnosed with cancer and was given 2 weeks to live, sort of a very sudden thing that happened. And so in that phase of my life, I had to grow up fast. I sort of became almost like a motherly figure for my brother, who was 4 years younger than me. And my mom and dad went on to pursue a lot of health, you know, health issues at that time. They ended up moving to Seattle and he had a bone marrow transplant, and we lived with grandparents and were kind of shuffled around for a period of time so that they could prioritize his health. Thankfully, he's still with us today. He walked me down the aisle and is still with us today and whatnot. But it was a very sort of traumatic time. And we were actually not dating at the time because we were really young, but we were friends at the time. So he sort of lived through that experience with me as well. But I grew up around, you know, a very, I would say, strong relationship and very outwardly so.
That's great. Well, I appreciate it. Helps understand where we come from and what we bring. And it kind of leads naturally into what we call the three C's. We have 14 pillars in our platform, and we think all 14 qualities are important and really have to be present and demonstrated in any successful relationship. But we kind of focus on the three C's because we think they're foundational. And the first of those C's is commitment. And so, Chris, I'd love to ask, what does commitment look like to you in your relationship with Jenny?
For me, commitment is really just going alongside Jenny through our journey of marriage and being there. And as we went through the different from the beginning, as we went through the different phases or different chapters of our marriage, like Jenny was saying during our story, kind of we switched off who was, we'll say, pursuing their dream. And no matter what, it was always, we always shared that dream with the other person. And we were always committed to moving forward together and supporting each other and figuring out our way through that. And so I think that for me, it's always comes back to support, never saying no, never saying, hey, we can't do that. It's always, we're going to find a way to make this work. We're going to find a way to make it successful and still love each other all the way through this.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, we said support in the beginning was probably what makes us work and what makes us happy. And, you know, before children, right, it was all about like, what are the different things that you feel, you know, what is your purpose, like outside of our marriage or outside of whatever, like, who are you and what, you know, who are you called to serve? And it's changed over the years. Like, he's had multiple job changes. I've, you know, left the corporate world for doing more entrepreneurship type stuff. And we've had health issues arise and we've had different, you know, obviously every couple goes through different things, but through it all, I think commitment is like this unwavering, I like to say all in, right? When I talk to women about health and fitness, commitment is being all in. It's making that vow that no matter what happens, good or bad, you're going to stick to it and you're going to work through it.
Right.
I love hearing that. And it's a great segue into commitment next, communication, right? I feel like communication is a real biggie in our relationships, how we communicate, when we make time to communicate. So I'm curious, Jenny, what does communication look like in your relationship with Chris? You're busy. You have a job. You have young children. You're in the middle, I like to say, in the thick of it all right now. So how do you, the two of you, find time to really communicate with one another?
Yeah. So we were just joking about this last night, actually, because right now we have a one-year-old and a five-year-old. And so very much of our life, including our sleep, revolves around our children and what they're up to. And so it's not quite what it was. We were actually married for 10 years before children. So, you know, prior to children, we traveled together. We had, five nights a week were date night, you know, like we were together all the time. And then with children, things shifted, especially coming out of the pandemic and the last couple of years of really feeling like we've been at home quite a bit since 2020 and really focused on our family. We've had to make intentional efforts to stay openly communicative. We joke around that the giffies on your phone, right? Like little giffies are our life sometimes, like when he's putting the baby down for a nap and I'm working or I'm picking my daughter up from preschool or whatever, like to get a little text message from him with some sort of sarcastic gif or something that just sort of lightens the mood and touches, we talked about touch points. touching the other person at some point throughout the day, whether that's physically or through text or through the phone. That's one way that we do it, but also we really value our evenings. I know for us, like sometimes we joke around and we have like a little countdown clock. Like we love our children dearly, but we also really love bedtime because bedtime means that we get to kind of come back together. And whether that's watching a movie or sharing a bottle of wine or just talking, you know, and having the TV off and just talking about our day or whatever, I think that's been really key. It comes back to that, what we talked about earlier, growing together. And growing together doesn't happen if you're not talking, you know. There are not very many evenings where we're not talking, you know. I mean, sometimes, of course, it's nice to just say, you know, I just need a show tonight. Like, let's just watch a TV show and just sit here. But then I would say most of the time that doesn't end up, we end up hitting the pause button a million times because, oh, I wanted to tell you what happened today, or, oh, I wanted it to tell you this or that. So,
yeah, I feel like our evenings are kind of the time for us to debrief with one another and catch each other up on what happened throughout the day. Because if not, it's usually just a quick text message of what happened. And so we end up not really sitting down to turn off until, I don't even know, 11:30 sometimes.
Yeah. I'm a night owl. So I've made him a night owl by association. So we, the girls go to bed at 8 or 8:30 and then we get that 3-hour window of just whatever we want to do, you know?
So I hear you saying you make time to connect in the evenings and that time is really valuable to both of you. It's important to you. It's a recharge time. And I think so many of our listeners are right where you are in life and they can really relate to that. So I love hearing that you are intentional about doing this.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now. Yeah, you gotta, sometimes it's gotta be scheduled. We're gonna talk now. And, you know, I used to get, when Kim would come to me in our relationships and go, I need to talk to you about something, I'd go, oh no. It was deer in the headlights because I thought, oh, I messed up. She's angry. Something's gonna happen. And I would get really nervous. And she said, no, we'll talk later. It's not a good time now. And that would kill me because I didn't have the confidence and faith to know, you know what, talking is normal and we're going to have that time together. It's great. And, you know, communication so naturally leads into our third C, which is conflict resolution. And I know every relationship, yours, ours, and everyone we've ever spoken to, there's always conflicts that come up. And so I'm curious, Jenny, if you don't mind taking this one first, what does conflict resolution look like in your relationship with Chris? How do you guys tackle when there's a point of difference in how you guys see or view things or how you should be going forward?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is that I think our personalities really complement one another in a way that's like, I'm very, I'm a decision maker. I like the bullet points. I'm very outgoing as far as personality. I like to talk. He is much more sort of introverted. He likes to just sort of sit and listen. he's also just so relaxed that he balances out my crazy sometimes. And so I think that helps us. I can't think of a time that we have collided in such a way that was detrimental to our overall relationship. I think that we just, you know, we have that working in our advantage. However, that's not to say that we don't have conflict. I mean, there are definitely times where things come up, and I think a recurring theme for us has been, you know, almost like those two personality traits are so polar opposite that sometimes that can be the cause of the conflict as well, because sometimes it's like, I just want you to make the decision. Like, please, just one time, like, please make the decision. And meanwhile, there are times where he's like, I just want you to relax. Like, why are you so uptight? So I think for us, like, conflict resolution has to really boil down to, like, first of all, if we're too angry with the other one, it's okay. I remember getting advice when we got married, like never go to bed upset and or never go to bed upset with the other one. And I remember thinking like, oh, that makes sense. But now that we've been married for 16 years, I'm like, sometimes it's better to go to bed a little upset, because sometimes we wake up in the morning and it's like, okay, well, that was really silly. You know, like now I have a fresh perspective and I have a good night's sleep. And now it's like, I'm really sorry about what happened last night, because that was just off, you know, that was really odd. But I think for us, it's a matter of me communicating to him a lot of times what I need him to do. Like, I need you to make the decision here, or I need you to, I know you that you're very relaxed about this. I need you to not be, I need you to care. And I need you to like pull forward some, you know, some thoughts. And then sometimes it's the opposite for him too. Like he has to ask me to sort of level out as well. So I think just keeping that communication open. We also have, some sort of like code phrases that we use in our relationship, which is sort of an inside joke. But anytime that we are dealing with like a stressful situation, which can cause us to then be stressful with one another, we have some code phrases. Like we have recently our parents moved close by. And while we love having that, we also sometimes feel like we have six children because our parents are aging and we're kind of going through this interesting time of life where we have small children, but then we also are helping care for our parents. And those can be really stressful situations that we find ourselves in conflict about. And so when that happens, we have this sort of code phrase where if we're together for like a holiday experience or something, and we can feel the tensions rising, he'll be like, "Your butt looks really great today." And it's just this like thing that will just break the ice, you know, and it just literally here we are at Easter Sunday. And we're like, we had predicted everything our parents were going to say or complain about or mention, you know, we had talked about it in advance in a very sarcastic way of let's make a checklist of all the things we're going to hear about. Like, are our gutters clean? Or, you know, are we going to hire someone for mulch this year? All these questions that our parents seem to ask now that they live close by. And so we made light of it. You know, it was like, we know this is going to be a stressful situation. Like, let's go into it like with a sense of humor. And a long time ago, we had a couple that we kind of consider to be a mentor for us, a relationship mentor, say, you know, in those moments, break the ice a little bit and say something like, "Wow, your butt looks great today." And it's fun. It's silly to say out loud, but it's like sometimes in that moment, you're like, that's exactly what I needed, was just this sort of lighthearted moment.
I think it's great that you have brought that into a relationship. And I love that you shared that, because when we bring humor into a stressful situation, even in the midst of arguing, it just changes the total perspective, and it really does lighten the moment. And we have one friend that even said that sometimes they'll be getting into it, like really getting into it, and then they're okay, the rule is when that happens, we have to take off all our clothes. We have to fight naked.
Just makes sense.
And then they just spend so much time laughing at each other that they totally forgot what they were arguing about.
Right.
So,
he calls it strip fighting.
Yeah, strip fighting.
That's a great concept.
Yeah. So maybe you guys want to try that out, Chris. I don't know.
Maybe.
I love it. So Jenny, so you're saying there's code words that you use, which I think is great. It breaks the mesmerism that can kind of, we can become fixated on, lightens the mood a little bit. What about for you, Chris? What, when kind of conflict occurs, how do you see yourself handling it? Or do you see Jenny doing to change?
For me, it's kind of stepping outside of my comfort zone, like being raised in a family that didn't really share their conflict or air their dirty laundry outwardly. My first thought is, hey, bottle it up and just deal with it on my own time. And so for me, it's taken growth to really say, to come outward and say, look, or share what's going on. What's the issue? Because that's not really natural for me. And on the opposite of that, it's like Jenny was saying, it's kind of like, hey, look, maybe this isn't as big a deal as it may be. For our relationship throughout, we really haven't had a lot of major conflicts with one another. I think we've really walked through a lot of conflicts together as a couple of things that have happened to us, maybe job changes or work environment things that really, we've really kind of walked through it, as a unit. And she's kind of brought the the mama bear aspect of it, because I mean, I feel like when you get on her side, there are many hills that Jenny Swisher will die on.
Mm-hmm.
And she will go to the nth degree to make sure you know that. And for me, it's like, oh, you know, it's probably not that big a deal. I'll just let this one go.
Yeah. Well, I think his natural reaction to conflict is to say, okay, like, or he's very quick to say, I'm sorry. And that's one thing that I feel like we've addressed so many times in our relationship is I'll say to him, I don't want you to be sorry. Like you shouldn't have to say sorry. You shouldn't have to bottle it up. Like we should be able to communicate and you should be able to tell me like how you actually feel. Right. And so I think what you're referring to with like the hills I'll die on, right. I'm a nutritionist. This is an example. I'm a nutritionist and I'm very passionate about healthy food. And so for me, it's like, that's a hill I will die on, right? Is like making sure that my kids are eating healthy foods, making sure that they're educated about healthy food. And for him, that's like not a hill that he's necessarily willing to die on, but he wants to be supportive of the way I feel about it. So it's something that we have approached, you know, together, like with our kids, like we've had to be on the same page. Like, this is the way our family eats. This is the way that we address food in our house. And sometimes it really is a matter of one of us saying like, you know, it's not that important to me. So whatever it is you think we should do, I'm going to roll with it. But then in other times where we both do have an opinion, I think our struggle has been with you being willing to not just say, okay, mm-hmm. whatever you say and internalize it, but instead to say like, no, actually, this is the way I really feel about it. And I know that when he does do that, that he really does, you know, have those deep, deep feelings about something and I need to listen. So I think we've worked through a lot. I think it's the biggest issue of, you know, I'm sorry, or me being the more opinionated one has really shifted over the last 5 years or so since having children, because so many decisions are now made based on not just what our children experience, but what they see and what they see with us. So, you know, especially having two girls, you know, I very early on, I was like, I don't want the two girls like being raised with a dad that's like always saying I'm sorry, or who's always just, you know, letting mom control the situation. So being able to kind of get off my high horse at times and say, no, dad's making a decision here and this is the way it is, like being okay with that, and that sort of give and take.
Yeah, I love to hear that, because it sounds like you guys have learned the art of compromise and you're willing to give each other what they need to be successful in the moment. And that means if you're mm-hmm. doing that for them, then it's happening for the relationship. And I think, you know, it's not my way or your way. It's not, there's no winning, right? Mm-hmm. A marriage is not about I won, you lost. Marriage is about did the relationship win? And when you're each willing to give up of self for the other person to get what they need, that's not a loss. It's a gain. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you all have, it's different for each of you, which is always usually true in most relationships, yeah. right? It's not the same because we're not the same people. And so right. I love hearing that you guys have learned and played around with that dance and realize, hey, I need to be willing to give so that they can win, which is great.
And I think, Chris, I hear you say that you're willing to learn how to communicate what you need better. And that mm-hmm. has a lot to do with being vulnerable, right? And that's not easy. It wasn't modeled for you. It's not comfortable for you. And so right. you've learned how to become vulnerable with, hey, look, this is what I need. So I think that's right. an important lesson as well.
Yeah. I feel like it's a lot of times you're just kind of stepping out on a limb, especially the first
it's handful scary.
Of times that you share that stuff. Yeah. It's very scary.
It's scary.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Too, cause
go ahead.
Yes. Since we've been married, I would say, he has gotten, like, I've seen so much growth there just from both of our perspectives, like me being willing to sort of, you know, listen and not just always be in control of an opinion, and for you to also step up and give yours. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because we've had some, like I mentioned before, like with our parents living nearby, we've had conflict there. And so boundaries and things like that we've had to work through. But it's interesting because especially in the last couple of years, I've seen him engage in a conversation with his parents, bringing to light, like almost confronting an issue that I'm like, he would have never done that like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like he's now much more, I think, self-aware of when there's something stirring that everybody's just kind of bottling up. And so he'll just outwardly say like, are you upset that we didn't X, Y, Z, or can you tell me what you're upset about? And it's sometimes like, you know, you're up against a rock in a hard place sometimes, but just seeing him do that is like, woo, like it's huge. Cause I know when we were first dating, there was one experience in particular where he picked me up for a date and my mom and I had been just butting heads. And my mom and I are both like very similar, like very strong personality females. And I remember he picked me up for the date. And he was like deer in headlights. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, like you're arguing with your mom like that. And I was like, yeah, cause we just didn't see eye to eye on something. And we had to just get through it. Like we had to talk it through. And he had never been part of that sort of confrontation or experience in his family. And I remember going on that date and like, he like kept talking about it.
I was mortified.
What was so bad that you had to argue over? And I'm like, I don't even know now. Like, it was just something we had to work through. And it was, confrontation was so part of how I was raised, healthy confrontation, I should say. And so not part of how he was raised, that we started to experience those differences, even just in our dating before marriage. So seeing him now, like, just a couple weeks ago saying like, hey, I sense some tension. Can you tell me what's going on or how you're feeling, like with his own parents is a huge step.
Yeah. It's been some good growth there, it sounds like. Well, of the 14 pillars that we talked about earlier, we just really discussed the first three, the ones that we believe are really key. You have a list, I think, in front of you of all 14. So there's 11 more. And I'm curious, I'd love to know, Chris, from you, which one of the remaining 11 resonates most with you? And why does it resonate with you?
I'm thinking.
And Jenny, if while he's thinking, there's one that just pops right out at you, you're welcome to take it.
Gosh, it's always hard to pick one, you know?
It is.
There's a reason there are 14, right? So, I mean, for me, I would say it would be a tie between trust and intimacy, like creating those intentional moments, whether it's physical intimacy or emotional intimacy, intentionally making that happen, right? Whether it's like notes in a lunchbox or a post-it note on the mirror or, instead of me texting to see how he's doing, like, you know, leaving my office and going and giving him a hug and seeing how he's doing, like making those small intentional efforts of intimacy would probably rate it up high for me. But again, without trust in a relationship, I feel like that almost has to be most important because everything else falters without trust. So those would be my, you asked for one. I did my best.
That's okay. I love that. I think that those, hearing you say that you're making deposits into that emotional bank account, that's huge. I think that's great for our listeners to hear. How about you, Kristen?
I think for me, it's, go ahead.
Yeah, you found one. Go ahead. I'd love to hear.
I think for me, it's kind of like appreciation. I mean, I think a lot of what we do, what couples do on a day-to-day basis, I don't know if we really realize the magnitude, the deposits they make, the things that we do for each other. I mean, with our first child, Jenny basically was a stay-at-home mom while trying to build an online business at the same time. And I feel like I never really saw the struggles and triumphs that she went through because I wasn't there 24/7. And I don't know if I really appreciated everything that she really went through. And the roles have kind of switched and I'm more of the stay-at-home parent with our second child. And it's like, man, there are some really tough nights. And I think she's like, hey, I've been there and I've done that. And then like, I feel like we can share in that moment, like the struggles that we both went through, even though they were at different times and how for me, I have a newfound appreciation for everything that she went through.
Yeah. I was thinking about when you asked about what makes us a kick-ass couple at the beginning, I was thinking about like the one small thing that I think we do every day, like multiple times throughout the day is that we're constantly saying, thank you. Like, thank you for doing those dishes, by the way, like that's, thank you for doing that. And it's not always, you know, acts of service, but it can be, you know, thanks for handling our 5-year-old when she had the meltdown, or thanks for, you know, how I saw you made my coffee, like the little things, right? Like, oh, thank you for bringing my coffee without me even asking, like little things throughout the day. And sometimes it's funny because we've started to notice, we have a 16-month-old, like I mentioned before, So she only has like maybe 7 words at this point, right? It's like, hi, bye, mama, dada. And one of her phrases is thank you. So it's interesting because I remember the first time she did it, you know, little babies, they go, hmm. They do like the syllables first. Mm-hmm. And she would, if you handed her something, she would go, hmm. And now it's thank you, you know? And it's like, she hears us say that, I think, so much throughout the day, throughout the house, and our 5-year-old too, that she's just, of course, it would be one of her first words. So I love that you said appreciation.
Yeah, that appreciation and gratitude goes a long way in our relationship. And it really does reaffirm, I believe, our commitment to each other. So it all goes hand in hand, no doubt.
It does. Yeah. And so I love to hear what you value. And I think it kind of goes into, Kim and I really subscribe to an idea that's called spillover thinking. And we think that our relationship and the goodness of it and the strength spills over into so many other areas of our life, and that our relationship's the center of our life, and that we focus on this because it has so much good. And so I'd love to hear from each of you. How have you seen the goodness of your relationship, your success together, spill over into other areas of your life?
Yeah. You want to take it or me?
I can take it. I think for like our overall success and our relationship, at the root, it's because we're friends, but the spillover effect is we work together. She's the CEO of our business and I'm the vice president, whatever you want to call it, but we work together. I mean, it's hand in hand. And to be honest, I really enjoy it. I mean, I don't know if I would have ever thought working from home with my wife would have been on my bucket list of goals to do, but, it works. She's the big idea thinker, and it spills over into the fact that I want to support her ideas. And I've seen it spill over into our children's lives and the joy that they have, the appreciation that they have.
Yeah. I think, I mean, we see it, you know, I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth mentioning again that I think the biggest spillover that I see is in our children. Like you don't realize like some of them, even just little things from mannerisms to just acts of love that you see when you see them performed in your children, you realize that they're seeing that from you. And so for me, the big spillover comes and is most evident in our children. But I also think just the support we've had for one another through, you know, starting a fitness business, starting a health and wellness business, like that has spilled over into making us a healthier couple, we're healthier individuals. And, because of that, it's helped our relationship, right? It's that other, it comes back to that choice of growing together. Doesn't necessarily mean we're pursuing health and wellness in the same ways or that we're doing it together, but making that a priority for our relationship has spilled over into our overall health as well. And so, that's what I would say.
That's awesome. Being in service to others can't help but kind of come full circle back to our own relationship. So That's fun to hear. Jenny, yeah. If you had to go back to your unmarried self and give yourself one piece of advice, so you've had all this time to grow and learn, what's that one piece of advice that you would go back and give yourself if you could do that?
I think for me, the piece of advice I would give myself is not to assume that that marriage is going to be happy without intentionality, and to make intentionality a priority. I'm a huge personal growth junkie, so to speak. And I was introduced to John Maxwell, and I've worked with a John Maxwell certified life coach now for a dozen years, which has helped me on a personal level. But one of the things that he talks about is having a personal growth plan. And I remember when I was being introduced to that concept, it was very new to me. I thought that it was up to my employer to help me develop skill sets and grow as a person, or I thought it was something that just happened to you. But, you know, John Maxwell's known for his quote that says, aging is inevitable, but growth is optional. And I think the same thing goes with marriage, right? Like your marriage can sort of persist through time, but it's only going to thrive with intentionality and effort. So that would be the advice I'd give myself.
How about you, Chris?
I think for me, it's kind of relishing in the small moments and being present. I think it's very easy for us to kind of go about the day to day or week to week or year to year, and time just passes, whether it's our marriage or our first 10 years without kids and the stuff that we did, just the two of us, or as we add to our family and have children. I think it's really just being able to turn things off and be present and relish in those really small moments.
Yeah.
Those are great pieces of advice.
Good advice. Same. Yeah. It's fun to have the luxury of looking back and see if it works today. And we are so grateful for both of you, for your relationship, for the work that you're doing, and the thoughts that you've shared with us today. If people want to learn more about you and your company, where should they go?
Yeah. So Chris is sort of my behind the scenes guy. I've sort of branched out into the world of women's hormone health specifically in the last 3 years. So everything that I do can be found at jennyswisher.com, which is JennySwisher.com. I'm also on all social media outlets at Jenny Swisher. So you can find me there as well. Happy to have a conversation with anybody. But he's sort of my behind the scenes guy. Yep, so he's by association with me through the website and whatnot. He handles all of my back end stuff. So
I am on social, just probably not as active as Jenny is. Just that Chris Swisher.
If you want to see pictures of our children, you can go to his account.
Yep.
Love it. Yes, for sure.
That's great. Well, thank you for your honesty and the truth you shared today, for spending time with us and our listeners. We're glad you're here. And we want to acknowledge all the good work that you're doing to be a mission-driven messenger and help others with some of the same things that you've gone through and are going through. So we tip our hats to you and are grateful for the good work that you're doing. And thank you for being with us today.
Yes, thank you. I've enjoyed getting to know both of you better and appreciate your openness and vulnerability with us and as well as our listeners. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. We appreciate it. And I'm so glad we've connected. Thanks for giving us the opportunity.
Our pleasure.
Absolutely.
We'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com. And we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.